Show some honor to our worship team for leading us to the throne of God this morning. How about that? Amen. I tell you, this has to be the easiest church in America to preach in after you have worship like that, some singing. Amen. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, it's so good. We are blessed and we're honored and hallelujah. We say hallelujah. We're saying praise the Lord. Come on, has anybody been set free? Aren't you thankful for that? Just give him praise and honor and glory. Amen. So glad you guys are here with us today. Packed house. Those of you that are dialed in and watching us online, good morning. Glad you guys just woke up. Olga, you're in Houston. I know that. I saw you send us a message. Olga, saving you a seat right here. And when you're back, I want you to come hug a preacher's neck, all right? But those of you that are watching online, thank you guys for dialing in. And we pray that you've already been encouraged with our singing today. And it's been a good weekend, hadn't it? How many of your brackets are still in place? Anybody? Any brackets busted? Dave, is your bracket busted? No, you don't do that. You don't do that. That's too much, right? And it's been a great weekend. I know you guys spring has sprung, hasn't it? Isn't that awesome? Dormancy is over. Amen. And things are coming back to life, and we're excited about that. Hey, today I want us to just, if we can, I want to spend a couple of moments praying for what I believe is, you know, the 52 weeks out of the year are always important for us around here at 1910. And we pray and we prepare and we go hard every weekend when we gather here. We know that what takes place on Sundays is awesome. We know that our groups ministry is important, and all the things that are happening within all of our life groups, our equip groups, the connect groups, all of those things are awesome. Interest groups, it's important. We know that we're going to run hard with kids ministry and summer camps and mission trips and all that. It is so important. But there's just something special about what we're ramping up and gearing towards come April 21st. It's called Easter. And out of all of the weekends out of the calendar year, it's the Easter attendance is still by far the greatest attended weekend out of the year. Sometimes within the church world, whether right or wrong, we call it the Super Bowl. It's our Super Bowl, you know? We're building up to this, and it just seems like people that haven't been in church in a long time, they're kind of like some of those bugs crawling out of the cracks and crevices right now. I'm not calling them bugs, but they're like, they start showing up. They show up Easter. That's what I meant to say. They're not bugs. Come on, Jesse. I would never call anybody a roach. But people show up Easter and we have a golden opportunity to minister to them and to share the hope of, listen, we worship a risen Savior, okay? Not a buried king. But we worship a risen Savior. And so that's why we make such a big deal about Easter. And so I want to encourage you with something today. You saw it in our announcement video this morning. And there's probably a card that looks like this somewhere around you. Some of you guys have already thrown those on the ground or whatever. Thank you for all that work that our creative team went in, and you just trash it. That's good. It's all right. But this is a golden opportunity. Listen, we'll have a lot of people and a lot of opportunities, a lot of people on campus and a lot of opportunities that whole week of Easter. I mean, we've got noonday worship and prayer movements happening in here. Our garage will be set up for a prayer experience for those of you to come and experience Maundy Thursday service in this room on that Thursday night as we remember Christ's final time with his disciples. And then 5 worship experiences over the course of Easter weekend. It just takes a lot. And so here's what we're asking. We want to ask you to help be a part of us, of what we're going to do to advance the kingdom of God through Easter weekend. Can you do that? And some of you, I know, that, like, man, I've just been here a few weeks. That's awesome. God still can work through you and wants to use you. Some of you slip in and you hide in the dark and no one sees you, and you feel like, hey, I don't have anything to contribute or whatever. Hey, listen, you do. Could you just give it a go? Could you try it this one weekend? Just try it once. don't ask. Just try it once and just see what happens. If you don't like it, that's awesome. But I really believe that God wants to use you. There's something in you that God has placed within you. Check this out. That He wants others to experience. I don't know what other people think about you or what they've said about you, but God looks upon you and He wants to use you somehow to accomplish great things for His name. And I think through serving and being part of Easter is an incredible opportunity for you to help advance the kingdom of God. I'm praying for an outpouring over Easter this year like we've never experienced around our nation. I believe that people are longing, they're looking. I believe that there are church leadership teams that even right now have already been praying and preparing. We've been gearing up and we've got some stuff that's just sick. It's dope, man, what's gonna happen. Sick and dope. Somebody said, did he just talk about drugs? And who's ill? Who's ill right now? There's some great things that we've been planning on and preparing and getting ready for, just to, in a creative way, share a message. Let's just be the Christmas, it doesn't change either. It's still Christmas, right? But the Easter message is pretty much the same every year. So how can we share it in a fresh and compelling way so that lost people are found and restored? Are you with me there? I believe that the Spirit of God wants to do something this Easter across the world like never before. And so I want to encourage you to pray about how you can be a part of kingdom work with us through Easter. And today I want us to pray specifically also for a group of people. Just going to go and throw this out there. Our staff, a lot of our pastoral team, key ministry leaders, we're leaving this evening for our yearly trip to Hawaii to go. And thank you for the way you tithe and give to our church, because just kidding. That's a joke. My wife is so mad. She's going like this. I'm joking. But actually, we have a staff retreat every time this year. We're going to exotic Kingsland. Yeah. We thought about Pipe Creek, but we went to, that's what I'm talking about. Own it. We're going to Kingsland. But it's the time in which we get away, we pray, we seek the Lord, we share dreams and share dreams and visions. We really get away and try to position ourselves in such a way where God can speak to us and show us where He wants to take us. Listen, as great as it's been, we believe that there are greater things that God wants to do. He's not finished. There's still work to be done, amen? And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to ask those of our staff that are here with us to stand up. They're so mad right now. Just come and stand right here. This is part of that job description, that's other duties as assigned, right? And so if you guys have those at your place of employment, who has one of those? Yeah, it's good. Like, there could just be one thing on the job description, right? Whatever is asking me to do, just that's what they do. But I want us to pray. I want to ask the house lights to be turned up. And I want to ask if you guys will partner with us and pray for our staff this week. As we get away and press in and seek the Lord and dream dreams, if you would pray with us, I want to invite you just to stand. And if you want to reach your hands forward, you can. Hey, if you want to come down and surround one of our staff members, feel free to move around the house as well and just gather and pick your favorite. Okay, we see who it is. It's the youth guys, of course. Guys, they're not going to give you more pizza just because you're praying over them. But I want us just to pray over our staff and our leadership. Guys, we're blessed. Would you agree with me? Do we not have an incredible staff here at 1910 Church? We do. We're blessed. And so if you feel comfortable, just reach your hands forward right now as we pray today. Father, we want to thank you for being a God who is alive and active, a God who's not finished, a God who is still on the move, the roaring lion. Lord, you're still changing people's lives. You're still finding people that are walking in darkness, people that are far from you. And God, you're still calling them to your great name. And we want to thank you for that. You're a risen Savior. You're not a buried king. You're a risen Savior. And has He been good to anybody in this house? Let me hear you right now. Come on. And Lord, because you've been good to us, we want others to also experience you. We want them to have that same peace and hope. We want them to have that same life that you've planted within us. And so, God, we're praying hard for Easter. God, we're praying hard towards this staff retreat over these next few days. God, I'm asking that you would show up in that house on Lake LBJ and that you would just shake the walls. God, that you would do something new. God, you'd show us something that you're up to that maybe we can't grasp right now. That's why we need you, Holy Spirit, to come. Pray that you would just speak to our team. I'm thankful for this staff, Lord. They're awesome. Every one of them love you, and their heart's desire is to make your name known. They want to grow your kingdom, Father. And so, God, I pray that as they press into you, as they seek you, Lord, your word says they will find you. They will find you. So, God, I pray that you'd speak to us. God, we're praying for Easter. I'm praying for volunteers to step up, leaders to say, you know what, I'm going to work in kids' ministry that weekend. I've heard a lot about it. I've seen the images on the screen, but I'm going to serve boys and girls that weekend, give them a chance to come face to face with the risen Savior. Hey, I want to help park cars. Hey, I want to be a barista for the day. I want to serve in some capacity. I'm going to help greet people and help them find seats. It's going to be packed. Every seat will be filled and there will be overflow. We just need people to serve, God. And I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, that you would prompt them to sign up and say yes to be a part of kingdom advancement. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you started today. We know you're not finished. And I pray that through these next few moments as we study your word, God, and we look at a story that might be quite familiar to many of us, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate truth, revelation from above. In Jesus' name, everybody in this house said, amen. Show some honor to our staff one more time. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all. That's a sick hat, man. Look at that. Look good. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, lights are out. Now it's nap time. There you go. I'm so glad you guys are here today. And we're in this series entitled Storms. If you're not in the midst of a storm right now, we've been telling you to be prepared and get ready because storms come upon everyone. No one is immune from storms or difficulties. And we're trying to help you prepare. So when the storm does come, you're able to face it maybe with a little bit different perspective or mentality. You know, we've been taught and told a lot of things over the course of our lifetime that if we'll just do these things, it makes life a lot better. And then maybe it prolongs our life. For instance, if you eat right. Right? If you eat right, balance your meals out. 3 square meals a day, or if you're a CrossFitter, it's 6, right? Because food is fuel, right? You gotta fuel that engine. But if you eat a balanced diet, you know, and a portion the size of your fist, then you live long, right? We've been told that if you will exercise that at least 3 times a day for 3 times a day, yeah. 3 times a year is what I meant. No, I'm just kidding. 3 times a week. Come on, this is hard stuff. Fuel exercise at least 3 times a week, 45 minutes each time, you know, that's good for your heart and strengthens it. Of course, you can do more and that'd be great. We've been told over the course of our lifetime to say no to drugs. We've been taught the effects of drinking and smoking and all those things, and we know what that can do to us. Those of us that have been through a course called driver education. Hey, do you remember when driver's ed was at your school before school started? Come on, somebody. Yeah, now you can just Google it and you're a driver, you know? But we were told to obey the rules of the road, that those speed limits are for a purpose, right? And those signs and symbols and colors of lights and things, they all mean something. And if you will obey those, then life will go well with you. Even in settings like this, we encourage you, hey, just be a person of prayer. There's power when you pray, and what you need is that power from above. We've told you and you've heard that if you'll just read the Bible, oh, it will go good for you all the days of your life. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things I just said. They're all good words and they're all great counsel for us. You know, but what happens when something goes wrong? I do these things. I obey the rules of the road, or I exercise, or I eat right, or I read my Bible and I pray. But what happens then when I have that heart attack? But why would my mother get cancer? She did everything that was prescribed, did it right. We went to premarital counseling, but my marriage is still falling apart. Hey, I do practice that little cute laminated placemat that you give our preschoolers at the clubhouse, right? And we read those memory verses over our kids, but my kids still rebel from time to time. Am I talking to any parents right now? I've done everything right, but I still lost my job. The list goes on and on and on. Listen, you can do everything right in life, but then sometimes stuff still, Mark, just goes wrong, doesn't it? Just goes wrong. Things happen. Well, today I want to encourage us with a story from the Bible about some teenagers that did everything right, but yet things still came up against them. Today, I want us to look at a story from the Old Testament in the book of Daniel chapter 3 about three Hebrew teenagers who lived the right way, yet things didn't go so well for them. They begin to encounter evil. They begin to encounter a king that really, really made life difficult for them. They were doing everything right. Their God was the true God. And what looked like doom and gloom for them became something beautiful as we read their story in Daniel chapter 3. Now, the three Hebrew teenagers I'm talking about, of course, are, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those weren't their original names. Those were the names given to them by this tyrant, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. We read this story some 600 years before Jesus Christ was born, when Nebuchadnezzar came and dominated Jerusalem, taking some of Israel's finest citizens back into captivity of Babylon. And among those deported were actually four. We know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, their names were changed by the king himself. And what we find here in Daniel chapter 3 is that these three Hebrew students, teenagers, who did everything right, their faith was strong. They refused to give in to what culture was saying. We're going to find that they soon find themselves in a situation. These three Hebrew youth, scripture tell us, prove themselves to be especially wise, and King Nebuchadnezzar finds favor upon one of them, especially Daniel, their friend. Daniel had this incredible gift of interpreting some of the dreams that had been causing King Nebuchadnezzar such turmoil, and because Daniel was able to interpret those and please the king, Daniel soon finds himself promoted and elevated within the kingdom. And in fact, Daniel is given a high title, and he's even become kind of a ruler over some of the other wise leaders of the land. And at Daniel's request, he remembers his three Hebrew friends, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also find themselves serving as advisors to Daniel and the favor of the king. King Nebuchadnezzar, though, did not believe in the God that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel believed in. And I don't know if because he was fearful of other gods, I don't know if he was just trying to appease them all, or I don't know if he had some ego problem, probably all of the above. But what we find in the book of Daniel is that he constructs a golden statue. And he gives this rule that whenever the music is heralded throughout the land, whenever the trumpet sounds, you must stop what you're doing and bow down and worship this golden statue. And for the person who refuses to do such a thing, there will be punishment. And it will be to be tossed into a fiery furnace. Clap with me if you've ever heard this story before. Now, we know, if you clapped with me, you know how this story goes. You know that the trumpets sound one day, and these three Hebrew teenagers who have found favor refuse to bow down. And what that does is that torques off King Nebuchadnezzar, and it sets him in a rage. In fact, he brings them in, and he has to remind these teenagers, not that teenagers would ever need something repeated, because they always catch it the first time, right? Some of y'all are laughing because you remember what you were like when you were a young person, right? Yeah. Guys, remember I told you that when the trumpet sounds, everyone across the land must bow down and worship this golden statue. Because you didn't, you know what the rules are. You know that means to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And you see, they worshiped the one and only true God. And so because they refused to bow, they knew, and everyone knew, what was about to take place in their lives. And I love this in verse 16 of Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us." Let's just stop right there. I want you to know something right now. If you face a difficult situation in your life, a storm, the waters are rising, or the fire is beating upon you, I want you to know something today. What Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego state here in verse 17 is gospel. God is able. Come on, somebody. He is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, they're still honoring in the midst of this, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you've set up. Furious with what these three Hebrews have said to him, Nebuchadnezzar orders the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than the norm. Scripture says that he has Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bound. They're tied up. And they toss them into this fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot, Scripture says, that the soldiers that were there around it attending, it was so hot that it scorched them and killed them. That's important to note. For someone listening here today, maybe online or rather in person, there may be some things in your life right now that are heating up. The fire's been ratcheted up against you a little bit. Maybe there's divorce issues. Maybe there are custody battles. Maybe there's some sort of a sickness or mental illness that is pressing in upon you, and the flames and the fire has just been turned up a notch or two. And maybe you kind of have this attitude tucked back in the back of your mind somewhere, much like like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jason, check this out. I took a stand for God, but things have gotten a lot worse in my life. You might find yourself this morning staring down a fire. You might be in the midst of a fire like you've never experienced before. It's just tough right now. The heat is on. And you thought God would save you from the fire. You prayed that God would save you from the fire, but yet you're still in the midst of it. Am I talking to anybody right now? Yeah. It's tough. And no one likes the fire. No one likes the wind or the waves. No one likes it when the floods come your way, but that's exactly where you're at. Could I just tell you something today? Be encouraged, because when the enemy turns up the heat, so does your God. And what looks like it might overtake you and destroy you, I want you just to be encouraged with what happens here in Daniel chapter 3. And I believe that my God, who's done it, can do it again. Yeah. It says, as King Nebuchadnezzar looks into this fire that he has now thrown these three Hebrew teenagers in, it's been heated 7 times hotter than the norm. It says, as he looked into this furnace, he is amazed and marvels at what he sees in that furnace. Look what it says in verse 25. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men." How many were thrown in? 3. "I see 4 men unbound." What? Weren't they tied up? I see them walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god.
Oh.
Who was this fourth man? Nebuchadnezzar saw, some Bible scholars say maybe it was just an angel. Some say it was a manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. Regardless, here's the deal. His appearance was miraculous. It was this heavenly bodyguard that had been sent by God to protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during their intense time of need. I'm telling you right now, the words to the song we just sang, there is someone that is standing with you this morning in the midst of your fire. There's someone with you this morning, just as he was with those disciples we looked at last week on the Sea of Galilee when the storms came. There's someone with him in the boat. And there's someone that's able to deliver and rescue you as well. King calls out to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to come out of that furnace. You see, they weren't bound anymore. They're loose and they're kind of, you know, it's kind of spring break mode, or I guess in the furnace. They're just kind of having a good time and celebrating. There's probably some worship taking place, because with this angelic being, I'm telling you, man, it's just awesome. Commands them to come out of that furnace. And scripture says here that not even a hair on their head was singed, nor did they smell the stench of smoke on their clothing. Needless to say that this kind of messed King Nebuchadnezzar up a little bit. Wouldn't you agree? For some of you now, you're probably going, wow, that's kind of an unbelievable story. And right now, it's for some of you, it's shock and awe. In verse 28 says, Nebuchadnezzar said this, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defiled the king's command, and they were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own." You see, through a miraculous deliverance of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that day, Nebuchadnezzar has a change of course in his thoughts towards the Israelites and their one true God. And he gives this new decree that they are now protected from harm and that they are free to worship their God, who is greater than all others. I love the passage that Pastor Chach read over us earlier during our time together today. He read from Isaiah chapter 43. I want to throw those words back up on the screen for you, because I want you to see the promise of God as we face storms, as we go through the waters that are rising around us, as we face these fiery moments in our life. I want you to look and find the promise of God. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine.'" Come on, how many of you believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? Come on. He says, "When you go through deep waters, I will," what? "When you go through rivers of difficulty," what? "You will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression," what does he say? "You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." As I read Isaiah 43, I'm reminded that God isn't going to save you from the fire, but his promise is that he will be with you in it. He's not maybe going to keep you from a difficult situation, a storm. There might be a struggle. There might be some pushback. There might be an obstacle that you come up against. And by the way, let me just remind all of us listening, in case you've missed it, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, none of us are immune from the fire, but yet we have one that will be with us in the midst of it. You see, when you walk through cancer, when you walk through sickness, when you walk through divorce or financial ruin, you shall not be burned. He's with us. Nebuchadnezzar fired that furnace up this day in Daniel chapter 3 so hot, 7 times hotter. It says that it killed some of his strongest soldiers. You know, fire is deadly for some. Fire is deadly for some. I'm talking about the fires of life that we go through. But I believe that there are some in this room that are listening here today that are going to be reminded that the God who did it in Daniel can do it again today. And that although I may be going through a testy time right now, a fiery trial, I'm telling you, I can make it through and not be burned. Come on, somebody. Now, I know you expected the miracle outside the fire. You thought God would save you from the fire. You thought it would never get this far. But I want you to know today, your miracle may just be in the fire. Your miracle, your breakthrough, your faith being grown and developed might just come from your time in the furnace. And let me just remind you that according to this promise that we looked at, the promise that Pastor Chach read over us in Isaiah chapter 43, the promise is that Jesus will be with you. And sometimes that's all we have to hang on to. I just prayed with a young girl who's a freshman in college after the first service today. She said, I'm going through it right now. And I need it today. And I told her, I wish I could snap my fingers today. I wish I could do some bewitched thing and wiggle my nose. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Right? I wish we could snap you out of it. I wish we could. I can't do it. God can. But here's what I do know. He's going to be with you in the midst of that trouble you're facing. He wants you to know that he is present with you in the midst of it. You see, sometimes Jesus reveals himself to us in the fire. Hey, if you're in one right now, or when it comes... I believe that it's through the fire and through the struggle sometimes that we gain a deeper revelation as to who God is. You remember the story we looked at last week when the disciples declared, who is it that the wind and the waves obey him? You see, in that moment, their faith was being grown and developed. And sometimes it will be in us as well as we face the fiery furnace. Those difficulties, those struggles that none of us wish would come our way, but they're just gonna come. You see, sometimes it's in those moments that a deeper revelation as to who God is and what he can do is it's being revealed to us. Sometimes it's in the fiery furnace that our worship grows, correct? Ladies, worship wins the war. Y'all been chanting that for years around here. And sometimes all you can do is just get your praise on a little bit and watch God do what he wants to do. Where are you at today? I pray that you're encouraged today by a reminder that you may be in the fire, but it does not have to burn you up or consume you, and that there is one with you in the midst of it. You hold on. You hang on. Don't you give in and cower in your faith. Listen, faith is this. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. He's promised you, I will be with you. Even the wind and the waves obey his name. Even a fiery furnace 7 times hotter than the norm is no match for the one who wants to join you in the midst of your struggle right now. And let me just encourage you with something with this thing called faith. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not guaranteed that they were going to survive the furnace, were they? But yet it did not cause them to worship a false god. So be it, Nebuchadnezzar. So be it. If that's what it's, if that's the repercussion of my decision not to bow down and cave in and worship, listen, I will not turn my back. I will not doubt. I will not recant on the one true God. I won't. They weren't guaranteed deliverance, but even to them, their God was worth it. They stood firm anyway. Listen, God's intervention during our time of crisis is not necessarily promised as well. People still die. There are some things that still are wrong in our culture today. And the ball doesn't always bounce your way, and you're not always chosen first. But God's still with us in the midst of that. I want to ask you to stand, and as you do this morning, I want you to hang in there with me. Ministry team, go ahead and come join me down front today. But listen to this. We may not face death because of our faith, but nonetheless, we face persecution. We face struggles. We're tested. And I'm just praying that somehow through our story today that you would just be reminded as we face those tough times that it is still possible to stand firm in your faith, knowing that God is with you and that He will come to the rescue. How? When? I don't know. But I just know that three teenagers were unwilling to doubt God. And because of their faith, a miracle took place. And that's what somebody in this room needs today. Because to you, it seems impossible. To others watching your situation, it looks like there is no good outcome going to come from it. I just know, and many of you declared with me earlier, that God is able to rescue. That God is able to save. You see, that's faith. Believing that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I'm gonna pray over you today. I know that there's someone here today probably in the midst of a fire right now. You're in the midst of a storm of some sort. And I'm gonna encourage you today to be reminded of this lesson. But I also wanna encourage you today to take advantage of what I believe is an incredible opportunity for you to have someone else come alongside of you and pray with you and encourage you today. That's why our ministry team will stand down front and wait when the service is dismissed today, because we believe that God is able, and we would love nothing more than to be used by Him to breathe some encouragement into your life. Maybe offer some wise counsel that just might see you through, just to remind you that God is with you. So Father, that's my prayer today. That we would understand that when the storms come, the floodwaters rise, the fire beats in upon us, Father, may we be reminded that You are there with us in the midst of it, and we don't have to face it alone. In fact, God, I pray that we would trust You even greater during those difficult storms, those times in which we're tested and tried. God, may we press in and seek You like we never have before. God, may our faith in You, this deeper revelation of You grow. May our worship in response to Your awesomeness and Your goodness, God, may be strengthened in those moments. And God, when You do rescue us, when You do deliver us from that, oh God, we will give You glory and honor and praise. God, thank You for never leaving us. That's Your promise. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your promise says, I am with you to the ends of time. Thank you for that promise, God. And thank you for the words that remind us there's nothing that can separate us from your love. not height nor depth. There's no principalities, angels. There's not things present, things to come. There's nothing that can separate us from your love, Father. You command us to be strong and courageous. Thank you for being God and with us. I pray today for the person dealing with that, that they would just trust you even more. May their faith in you grow. God, use us maybe to encourage them and come alongside them and propel them through this rescue mission that you have in mind for them. But God, just do a work. Do a work. As we dismiss today, I want those of you that are in the midst of a struggle to come and be ministered to by our team today. You don't have to face it alone. You don't have to face it alone. Thank you, God, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.